Boy, what a great crowd here tonight. What a privilege to be here. Been looking forward to this. I heard about a policeman chasing a car down the highway, 100 mile an hour, flying down the highway. And the policeman was chasing this guy. And finally, the man who was speeding pulled over on the side of the road. The policeman got out of his car and went up there and said, "Look, I just wanted to tell you you had a taillight out. Why were you trying to get away? Why were you trying to escape?" And the man said, "Well, last week, my wife ran off with a policeman, and I was afraid you're trying to bring her back." The guy was afraid. Now, that's the only funny part of this sermon tonight. Did you enjoy Brother Van Gelderen's message tonight? Man, my heart got stirred up when he started telling those stories. And you know, I was coming out of the parking lot of the hotel tonight, overlooking the glow here of Clarksburg, and I just thought, Lord, it'd be really good if the glory cloud would settle down around here for several months, or however long. And I know y'all are in faith believing, and I have a message tonight I want to bring you. I want to talk to you about fear, because fear is a very serious subject. Now, somebody has cataloged 700 phobias, 700 phobias, and one list put on the top 10 things that men fear. Number one, or one of them, was public speaking. Other people are afraid of heights. I can understand that. Flying. People are afraid of spiders. People are afraid of snakes. I could never be a Pentecostal, amen. I just don't like snakes, I'm telling you. Needles. Ooh, mice. Enclosed places. Thunder and lightning. And the fear of death. But I believe the number one fear of all time is the fear of man. Anthropophobia, the fear of man. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. There's a text there. I think we have a slide for it. Read it out loud with me tonight together. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Read it again. The fear of man bringeth a snare. One more time. Now, the fear of man brings a snare. That means it sets a trap. It's a trap that will catch you and destroy you. And I believe that one of the great barriers to a move of God is the fear of man. Father, in Jesus' name, have a word in season for every heart. We anticipate blessing by faith, and we give you thanks in Christ's name. All God's people say it. Now, what is the fear of man? What is the fear of man? Well, the fear of man is valuing the opinions of men more than the opinion of God. The fear of man is valuing the opinions of men, the persuasions of men, more than the opinions of God. The fear of man is valuing the favor of men more than the favor of God. The fear of man is desiring approval from man instead of approval from God. And the fear of man brings a snare. Leonard Ravenhill said, the man who is intimate with God is not intimidated by man. The man who is intimate with God is not intimidated by man. Now, when you're more concerned about your public appearance before men than your actual condition before God, you are snared by the fear of man. Now, what is the fear of man? It's been called the disease to please. The disease to please. An inordinate desire for approval, a man-pleasing spirit, the disease to please. Now, the fear of man is just Bible language for insecurity. That's really what it is. The fear of man is Bible language for insecurity, basing our identity from the approval of other people, deriving our security, think about it, from fellow fallible human beings. Now, I want to tell you that insecure people derive their personal worth from the attitudes of others about them. Insecure people are discouraged or angry when somebody dares to disagree with them. How many know that you can have a different opinion on something that's really secondary, and it's really, you're not an Einstein, and I'm not either, amen? I mean, let's be honest here. And when you're insecure, you're forever comparing yourselves with others. And guess who wins every time? And when you have the fear of man, you're constantly critiquing and judging others. Now, when you have the fear of man, the problem is you see men big and God small. You see men big and God small, and caring so much about what others think that it can keep you from living up to your own convictions. Why? Because men look bigger than God. Now, People crave approval. People want to fit in. How many know this is not just true of young people, it's true of everybody? I was driving around Roanoke the other day. I saw a character. He was out there, had his shirt off, hanging on his shoulder. And he had... How many remember the white belt movement in the 70s? How many remember the platform shoes in the 70s? How many remember the disco shirts? How many remember the medallions? How many remember the big hair movement? Remember this? So we shouldn't be too hard on the millennials because we look just as stupid as they do. All right? So now, you know, people outside of our culture look peculiar. Am I right? People outside of your given culture, they look peculiar. Can I tell you? You look just as peculiar to people who are outside of who are outside of your culture. Now, can I say something to you? Everybody is normal until you get to know them. And the way you choose your affiliation is by determining which set of inconsistencies you can tolerate better. I'm just telling you. Now, pride is not just thinking you're better than other people. Pride is not just thinking you're better than other people. Pride is thinking you're better than you really are. And pride is desiring people to think better of you than you really are. You know what the fear of man is? It's when you have an undue concern for what other men say about you, do to you, and think about you. The fear of man is when you have an over concern about what people say about you. You know, somebody says, well, that guy's telling lies. You know, as long as they're telling lies, I'm ahead. Amen. It's when they start telling the truth that I get in trouble. I don't mind people lying about me. They can lie all day long. It's when they start telling the truth that it cuts close. Now, undue concern about what people say about you, do to you, and think about you. And I want to tell you, you wouldn't be worried about what people thought about you if you knew how little they actually think about you. Now, people that live for God, they learn to stand alone. Now, if you've ever been around cattle, you've seen a nose ring. You have these huge, massive bulls. And, you know, bulls are wild and uncontrollable. So they put this nose ring in this massive bull. And it's so painful when somebody pulls on that ring that they can lead that giant bull anywhere they want to without any resistance. He won't put up a fight. And the fear of man is like a nose ring. If somebody yanks on our chain, they can lead us anywhere with no resistance. And I want to say something to you tonight. It's more important for you to become comfortable in your own skin than trying to get other people comfortable with your skin. And you could cut down on your medications if you'd quit worrying about what other people thought about you. Now, the fear of man is when we cave into popular customs, accepted norms, cultural expectations, and everybody has them, okay? Now, we have two Facebook accounts. We got about 20,000 friends on Facebook. I'm amazed that some people will take and we'll share one of our slides. And then on the next slide, they're using words you wouldn't find in the Bible. What? Really? I mean, what is up with this? Now, I just say this. God delivered me from cursing when I got converted. When I was six, I could have written a profanity dictionary. I had a filthy mouth. Filthy mouth, taking God's name in vain, left and right, all kinds of stuff. But when I got converted, something happened. I was fishing down at the river one day, catching these stripers on the spawning run. Praise God, it was wonderful. And I was trying to, I drove my father's 1950 Chevrolet pickup down to the riverside, and I went fishing. Well, I was trying to get across a creek. Well, I thought, I'll just jump over. I was pretty athletic in those days. And I took a flying leap, but I didn't make it. And I went right down in the creek, up, you know, chest high and freezing water. And before I knew what was happening, out of my mouth, I took God's name in vain. I'll never forget. Boy, I was so smitten. I was so ashamed. You know, I was so ashamed. And I didn't even try to get out of the water. I just bowed my head and I said, dear God, please forgive me for taking your name in vain. And by the grace of God, from that day to this, at least verbally, I've never taken God's name in vain like that ever again. But did you know that your language, if you cater it to the crowd you're with, it's because of the fear of man. Listening to dirty jokes to gain approval. Drinking to fit in. I just throw this out for no extra charge. You never have to worry about becoming a drunk if you don't drink in the first place. Sitting silently while other people are slandered. I've been to some pastors' meetings where it wasn't anything more than a slander session. The Holy Ghost wasn't there, but the devil was. Where the devil doesn't go personally, he just sends a critic. The Puritan said, he that speaks a slander carries the devil in his tongue. He that receives a slander carries the devil in his ear. Oh, mindless obsession to find approval from people. The dread of being ridiculed. The dread of being persecuted or neglected. The craving for the applause of men. You know what Jesus said to the religious leaders? How can you believe who receive honor one of another? You know, and the Pharisees, they lived on one another's praise. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. I go overseas sometimes, and often in some of these places, they'll put my name in the bulletin or whatever it is, Reverend Vaughn. What Reverend Vaughn? There's only one reverend person, and that's God. And then I go to some places when they introduce me, and they just about all introduce me as Dr. Vaughn. Yeah, Dr. Vaughn. I'm not even a nurse. Yeah. Dr. Vaughn. Well, we're so privileged to have Dr. Vaughn with us here today. And then they'll start off with this bunch of accolades, this description, this building up of this guy, and I'm sitting here thinking, man, who in the world are they talking about? Sometimes I say to my wife, listen to this. See how good you got it? Listen to this. I can't wait to hear myself after they finish. I'm sitting here thinking, who are they talking about? But that's what the Pharisees did. And I'll tell you, when you go to meetings where there's an undue praise of men, I'm telling you, there's probably a lack of praise of God. You know what courage is? Courage is being true to who you are when others tell you to be somebody else. Courage is being true to who you are when others want you to be somebody else. Now, what is the fear of man? It's a misdirected fear. It's the wrong kind of fear. It's the gateway to bigger problems. Now, what does the fear of man do? Let's talk about this for a moment. What does the fear of man do? What is the fallout from the fear of man? Well, the fear of man deadens the conscience. The fear of man debilitates the mind. The fear of man paralyzes the work of God. The fear of man seals the lips of the saints. Let me give you about four practical things. Number one, the fear of man robs you of courage. The fear of man robs you of courage. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were commanded to worship this particular image, and they refused to do it. You know, I know a lot of people work for government offices, and they tell me, now, we can't share the faith, and we can't do this, and we can't do that. And, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, I know I'm not working for the federal government, but I'll tell you one thing. I don't think we ought to be incendiary. I don't think we ought to be hateful, but I want to say something to you. This is the United States. We still have some freedom of speech and just stand for the truth sometimes, but the fear of man will rob you of your courage. It's neutered an entire generation. to where we're afraid to speak up. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, our God is able to deliver us, but if not, we will not worship this image. They didn't bow, they didn't budge, and they didn't burn. They were not afraid of the taunts and the threats. Adrian Rogers said, Jesus did not come to get you out of trouble, but to get in trouble with you. And Jesus was in trouble with them in the fiery furnace. Man, they were walking around, and there was a fourth one in there, man, like unto the Son of God. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Now, the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Why? Because of the fear of man. Because of the fear of man. They were afraid of giants, walled cities, opposition. The 10 spies had stripped the faith out of the Israelites. Old Caleb, you know, that guy, 85 years old, had the vigor of a young man. He must have been on barley green or, what's the name of that stuff? That Aramak or whatever. Wait, Avacare. All right, there's a, he must have been on that. I don't know what he was on. But old Caleb said, man, this place is flowing with milk and honey. Let us go up at once and possess it. Now, the point is, you better be careful who you listen to. Caleb was ready to go forward. We're well able to take the land, but the spies were ready to go back. And the Israelites listened to the 10 faithless cowards and perished in the wilderness. The fear of man can rob you of your courage. Pay attention to the voices you allow to speak into your life. When fear walks in, faith walks out. Say that out loud. When fear walks in, faith walks out. The fear of man robs you of courage. Now, it'll take the fight out of you. And the fear of man had taken the fight out of the Israelite people, and they all perished consequently. Now, the fear of man caused Abraham to lie about his wife and tell the authorities that his wife was his sister because she was so good looking, he was afraid they would steal her and kill him. It was the fear of man. The fear of man caused Aaron to build a golden calf. When the Israelites said, make us gods to lead us, so he fashioned a calf to placate the people. It was the fear of man. The fear of man is responsible for Elijah when he was running for his life from Jezebel. Here's a guy who had called down fire, slew the prophets of Baal, and now he's trembling in fear of a godless woman. The fear of man caused Pilate to put Jesus on trial. He said, I find no fault in him. But when the crowd said, crucify him, I'm telling you, he sentenced an innocent man to die because of the fear of man. And the fear of man caused Peter to deny the Lord three times. And he cursed and swore. You know what I told people one day? I said, he denied the Lord three times. I wish I'd only denied the Lord three times. I mean, that looks pretty good to me. Only three times looks pretty good. He was afraid he would go down with Jesus. So he's warming by the enemy's fire. Lying and denying. Why? Because of the fear of man. So the fear of man can rob you of courage. Second, the fear of man hinders Christians from witnessing. The fear of man hinders Christians from witnessing. Now, what is the fear of man? A fear of rejection. A fear of reprisal. A fear of reproach. David was a shepherd boy when he went up against Goliath, but everybody else was absolutely terrified. But David was not terrified. He was not terrified. All the soldiers of Israel and his brothers were intimidated by this giant Goliath. David's brothers thought that Goliath was too big to fight, but David thought Goliath was too big to miss. So he only got his five stones, but he let him have it. Now, no sin has robbed Christians of more witnessing opportunities than the fear of man. I met a fellow who raises chameleons. Have you ever seen a chameleon? They're amazing. You take a chameleon and you put it on that brown chair, it'll turn brown. You put it on that red flower, it will turn red. You put it on that green, it'll turn green. You put it on a patchwork quilt and it'll have a nervous breakdown. You know, chameleon Christians, you know what? They're afraid to stand out. Want to blend in, just fit in. I remember back in Bible college, we were in a meeting in Yanceyville, North Carolina. So we went down to the roller rink, and you're talking about zeal. No knowledge, but zeal. went out to roller rink and told the guy, I said, hey, look, we would like to come in after church, and we'd like to shut the roller rink down, and you call the skaters over, and we'd like to preach the gospel to them. He said, that'd be fine. After church, we all went over to the roller rink. You know, they're jamming out, and he shut the thing down. Everybody rolled out to the center, and that week we had 39 people come to Jesus. How many remember you were more bold before you knew so much? Is that right or wrong? I was in New York City. A buddy of mine got up on the subway. I was sitting on the subway. The door's closed. He gets up. He's only about this tall. He got up and said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you about the greatest person that ever lived, and begin to march back and forth throughout the subway car preaching the gospel. I remember preaching on the streets of New York City with guys that had never even preached in a nursing home. We were set up one time across from MTV. Moron television. We were right across the street under a closed down theater. We set up these paint boards. We would do a couple of little rope tricks to get their attention. People would stop and listen. We had guys up there, and they were scared, but they wanted to be there. And we told them, if you come, you're preaching three times a day on New York, on Times Square. And they'd be up there kind of shaking like this with the paint, but they wanted to be there. Can I say something to you? Some of us were more bold in our witness before we know as much as we know now. And I just want to say something to you. I'm not against knowing what's going on, but brother, more witnessing opportunities are lost because of the fear of man. Some of us think we have ESP, extra spiritual perception. And we can look at people and forecast whether they're going to receive the gospel or not. Extra spiritual perception. Well, that guy, he wouldn't be interested. And we can predict who can be saved. But can I say something to you? The fear of man brings a snare. It robs us. And we're afraid to open our mouth because we're afraid of what people might think. Well, I can't give the gospel to them right now because it might run them off. They're already going to hell. There ain't nothing to lose. There's nothing to lose. Holy boldness. How many of God's people here tonight ever feel like you're not in a position to share the gospel until you get your act together? Well, I'm really not qualified right at this moment because I've had these problems right here. Let me tell you something. It's better to do something imperfectly than to do nothing at all. Better to witness imperfectly than not even to try. And better to witness imperfectly. And you say, well, I've got these. Well, confess the sin to God while you're on the way. Thank God for cleansing you. Ask God to fill you. And just go ahead and take a risk. Amen? I'm just telling you, you'll never lead people to Christ if you don't try. Now, Peter denied the Lord three times, but Peter learned the power of the blood. Here he is, denying, lying, warming at the enemy's fire, following at a distance, ashamed of Jesus, and he's cursing and swearing, and the rooster crowed, and Jesus looked at him, and he wasn't looking at him angrily. But the Bible says, oh, Peter remembered, and he wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. Then he really got clear in the upper room with all of the disciples who had forsaken the Lord. And then he stood up at Pentecost, totally full of confidence, totally forgiven. And he said, you who by wicked hands have slain and crucified the Son of God. I want to tell you something. He was brimming with confidence because Peter had forgotten all about his denial, all about his failure, and he had learned the power of the blood. And if there's one thing that conservative Baptist people had better get hold of, is learning the power of the blood and quit wallowing in guilt and condemnation and self-pity and shame and all the rest of it. Get it under the blood. Get up and believe God and move on down the road. Listen to me. God doesn't want you living under a cloud of guilt and condemnation. God's grace is greater than your failure. His mercy is greater than your mess. His blood is stronger than your guilt. And when you mess up, fess up. Now listen to me. Confess your sin to God one time. Never confess the same sin twice, because if you do, that means you didn't believe that God gave you the first time when he said, if we confess, admit, agree with God about our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So if you confess it twice, you're doubting whether God forgave you the first time. We're not Roman Catholics. I'm going to help you tonight if you'll let me. You say, well, confess it in the morning. So your sin to God one time, then what? Then begin thanking God. Now listen, if you don't feel forgiven, keep on thanking Him until you do. And if your conscience is wearing you out over some sin you committed way back when, you need to get over it. And I want to tell you how to get over it. Because sometimes you don't know how. You don't know how to pray. You don't know what to do. And sometimes you don't even know what to say. So let me give you a little tip. Get out here on the sidewalk. Get out here in the woods. Get out here and take a walk somewhere and just pray like this, right? When you don't know what to say and you don't know how to pray and you're feeling bad about yourself, well, after you confess your sin, just go out there and say, thank you, Jesus. 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 Do that for about 15 minutes and you'll start feeling forgiven. I'm not trying to psychologically hoodoo you tonight. I'm telling you, you better start believing what the Word of God says. And I want to tell you, if you'll just keep on thanking God, you will sense you'll sense the grace of God in time as you obey the Word of God. Y'all with me on this point right here? Seem to be a little slow on that point right there. Now then get up and move on. God doesn't want you living under a cloud of guilt and condemnation. And that's why we don't need to be condemned in every service. Say amen on that, preachers. Amen. I mean, yeah, we need some correction. We need some conviction every now and then. But I'm telling you, brother, a pat on the back, though only a few vertebrae removed from a kick in the pants, is miles ahead in results. And sometimes, brother, we need the encouragement of God to come into our heart. We got to learn the power of the blood. Let me give you this. The fear of man silences Christians from speaking the truth. The fear of man will silence Christians from speaking the truth. You know, in the world today, speaking the truth is equal to hate speech. Quoting the Bible is hate speech. I mean, I was in United Kingdom, and the guy in his restaurant was running these little scripture verses across the television screen, and got to Romans 1. On one particular verse that somebody didn't like, they reported him to the government, charged him with hate speech, closed the thing down. I was in the United Kingdom. There was a mother of a 10-year-old child who wanted a sex change operation, 10 years old, and the mother and the media were applauding this kind of insanity. Let me just say something to you. If you're dissatisfied with the way you were born, try getting born again. I mean, really. New York City, 64 gender designations. I mean, this would be funny if it wasn't so stupid. I mean, 64 gender designations. Now, when the governmental law causes you to go silent about Jesus, you need to check up on your salvation. I'm not talking about being hateful. I ain't talking about calling people names. I'm not talking about using derogatory speech. I'm not talking about none of that. Y'all with me on this right here? And some of us need to quit calling people names. Now, hang on. The Roman government told the apostles to shut up about Jesus. But they said, we cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard. Roanoke, Virginia, the rescue mission is now teamed up with the Metropolitan Church, which is the same-sex church. And just really, really, really? Can I say something to you? I don't believe we need to separate from everybody, but I do believe we need to separate from people who are involved in vital and intentional error. Spurgeon said that fellowship with known and vital error is participation in sin. There's a time to speak up. There's a time to separate. There's a time to stand up. Listen, if your church leaves the truth, you ought to leave your church. If your authority abandons the truth, you ought to abandon your authority. Now, you know, see, people are lamenting that 5,000 churches are closing every year or whatever. If 200,000 of them closed, it would be an advantage to the kingdom of God because they're misrepresenting the kingdom of God. You say, well, that's all liberal churches. Fundamental churches that have no power of the Holy Ghost, it would be better if they didn't exist. Orthodoxy without Holy Ghost power is the breeding ground for atheism. Orthodoxy without Holy Ghost power is the breeding ground for atheism. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it. I mean, we're just flat out seeing it. Now, the fear of man paralyzes us, but faith propels us to stand for truth. The reason there's so little fear of God is because there's so much fear of man. Now, finally, the fear of man paralyzes the work of God. It's the root cause of disobedience. You know, what are you talking about? An over-the-top reverence for human hierarchies and customs. An over-the-top reverence for human hierarchies and customs. A slavish compliance to human customs that have no biblical principle behind it. John Newton was a wicked slave trader. He got converted. Somebody told me that he kept on trading slaves for 6 years after he got converted and wrote Amazing Grace. Somebody asked him, how in the world could you continue in the slave trade, trafficking human beings, after you've been saved and wrote Amazing Grace? And he said, it was the custom of the day. Everybody was doing it. Can I say something to you? Just because everybody's doing it from the university you graduated from doesn't mean it's right. I ain't trying to be hateful to you. I'm just here to tell you that there's not only left-wing flesh, there's right-wing flesh. Left-wing flesh denies the moral absolutes. Right-wing flesh makes moral absolutes out of preferences. Quit preaching your preferences as commandments from God. That's what the Pharisees did. They'd come up with this whole elaborate system. And, of course, they didn't even know the glory cloud had been gone for 400 years. Pile of church is in the same condition like that right now, I think. What are you talking about? I'm talking about racial prejudice in the house of God. Can I tell you one thing? You better not judge everybody by some or by the majority, because not everybody's alike. I've heard tripe, such garbage, such hatefulness. If you think the KKK is where it's at, you're not in the kingdom of God. Did you hear what I just said? And there ain't no black supremacy or white supremacy. How about a little Jesus supremacy? That would be the thing that... So here we are. Here we are. And the lack of rebuke and check for over-the-top, unbiblical statements is turning off an entire generation. A fear of man paralyzes the work of God. Some will not discipline their children because they're obsessed with their children's approval. It's a dumb decision to give an uncensored smartphone to a minor. The internet has completed the sodomization of American culture. I even hear about parents condoning and financing their children's immorality. It's time for parents to take back the responsibility for, the control of, and the ownership of their own children. How many refuse to speak up for truth in their family? The fear of man. Or on their job? For fear of loss of job, or in the church. The fear of man has stumbled the best of saints. And no man is immune from this insidious phobia. But the only antidote to the fear of man is the fear of God. So here we are. We got the fear of the future, the fear of loss, the fear of suffering, the fear of sickness. We got everything except the fear of God. And to overcome the fear of man, you have to cultivate a supreme reverence for God. To overcome the fear of man, we have to cultivate a supreme reverence. Bow the knee. Amen, brother. Bow the heart, yes. And if you have the fear of God, you don't fear men. If you have the fear of God, you don't fear men. And if you fear men, you've lost the fear of God. Look at this slide we have up here on the screen. This next one, if you would. Read this out loud. The only thing that can deliver us from the fear of man. Do you believe that? Read it one more time. The only... Cultivate a deep reverence for God. You know, I hear people tell jokes about eternal things, and I think it's inappropriate. I've heard people tell jokes about hell. Ain't nothing funny about hell. I've heard St. Peter jokes and all this kind of stuff. Look, there's plenty of things to laugh about, but you better not be laughing about sacred things. Cultivate a deep reverence for God. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love drives out the fear of man. Having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, of perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You say, well, the fear of God, that's a reverential awe. Let me give you the Hebrew and Greek meaning of the word fear. Fear means fear. It means fear. What do you mean? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now look, look. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, that we may, let us have grace that we might serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So it's not the same thing. There's reverence and godly fear. And there's nothing wrong with you or me that a baptism of holy fear wouldn't fix. People who fear God pay no attention to opinion polls. People come up and say, do you know what people said about me? I don't care what people said about me. I don't want to know what people said about me. If they ain't got, by the way, if they don't have enough character to come to you and they go to somebody else, when somebody comes and tells you, do you know what so-and-so said? You ought to say to them, well, I wonder why they felt more comfortable coming to you about me than they felt about coming to me about me. I'd cut out on some of the slander in the house of God. Somebody would say something. Now, you know, people who fear God, all they want to hear is, well done, my good and faithful servant. Boy, that would be something to hear something like that, wouldn't it? Well done. Come on in to my rest. Wow. The fear of man, let me give you this one. The fear of man sends people to hell. No sin has sent more people to hell than the fear of man. Jesus spoke about a man fearing spirit when he said, fear not them which kill the body but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The only time most church people hear the word hell is when somebody has a verbal slip at the ball game. I know this is not true of your churches, but I'm telling you, most churches, you will never hear a word about eternal damnation. I heard a television preacher this afternoon when I was falling asleep, and he was preaching on hell. And he was accurate. And he wasn't gleeful about it. I'm just telling you. Jesus said, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, why did Nicodemus come to Jesus under the cover of night? Because he was worried about his colleagues in the synagogue. So he came under the shadow of darkness, the fear of man. Why did the religious leaders refuse to confess Christ? Because of fear, the fear of man. And that among the chief rulers, many believed, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. What means more to you, the approval of your peers or the approval of God? What means more to me? What means more to you, the acceptance from your culture or acceptance from Christ? What means more to you, the favor of your family or the favor of Almighty God? Jesus Christ is the greatest unifier in human history. But Jesus Christ is the most polarizing figure in history. He's the greatest unifier, but buddy, he's the greatest polarizer. He said, I came not to send peace, but a sword. He said, I'm come to set a man at variance against his father and the daughter against her mother and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. In high school, I was witnessing to this kid. His father was the most profane man I've ever met in my entire life. And this kid believed in Jesus, but he would not get saved because he did not want to lose the favor of his father because his father disapproved of Christianity. The fear of man keeps people from being saved. I was in Clay, West Virginia, preaching a meeting. In the back of the church, a man stood up. Family man, moral man, church man, business man, good man, but a lost man. And he stood up, and here's what he said. He said, I've known for years I've never had a new birth experience. He said, I've known for years I've never had a born-again experience. But he said, I've been afraid to admit it because I've been afraid about what you people would think about me. But he said, tonight I finally realized that at the judgment seat, not only will you know that I'm lost, the whole universe is going to know I'm lost then. So he said, if you're going to know it then, he said, you just might as well know it now. He said, I'm a lost soul and I need to be saved. And he broke down in tears and got saved on the spot. Now, what kept that guy from coming? Worried about what people thought about him? Quit worrying about what people think about you. I mean, really, 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 you ain't got nothing to lose, brother. She's all coming out at the judgment seat anyhow. Fear not them which kill the body, but fear him that can destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus said, whoever shall confess me before men, I'll confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. The fear of man is a misdirected fear, but the fear of God is a commanded fear. And Jesus said, if you confess me, I'll confess you. You deny me, I'll deny you. That's what he said. Revelation 21:8, but the fearful, listen to this group, but the fearful and the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. You know, tonight would be a good night to change destinations. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, and regardless of how you came, you can leave out of here prepared for eternity, because there was three crosses on Calvary's hill. On that first cross, there was one man that died from sin. He was a criminal. He was there because he deserved to be there. He died from sin. On the second cross, there was another man that died in sin. Not only from, but in sin. He was the unrepentant thief. But on that third cross, there was a God-man that died for sin. And he took your sin, and he took my wrath, and he took my judgment, and he bore the holy wrath of God against sin. Now, everybody here tonight is going to either die in sin or from sin. And this is a call to salvation, to give God his proper place. To be saved, you've got to be born again. You've got to stop fearing man and start fearing God and confess Christ. Everybody Jesus called, he called them publicly. I mean, there wasn't any closet Christianity going on. Bow your heads and sing 100 verses and pray this prayer and all this. And I know, he called them right out on the spot. I mean, that's just what he did. Now, hear me tonight. You say, how do I get born again? If you're here and you say, I don't think I'm saved. You know, there's a lot of people that come to churches that have made professions of faith many times, but they have no assurance in their hearts. You say, well, how do I get born again? Well, number one, you got to perceive the truth. You got to comprehend. You got to understand. You got to perceive that Christ died in your place as your substitute, your sin bearer, your sacrifice to be your Savior. You got to perceive the truth. Number two, you got to believe the truth that Christ paid your debt in full, that he shed his blood for you. You know, when I hear those songs that talk about Jesus' death in my place, I am moved. I don't try to be moved. I am just deeply moved by some of these things. Why? Because I believe this. I can't even explain why. I can't explain it to you. But I'm telling you, when I heard the gospel, I said, I believe that Jesus died in my place. You got to perceive the truth, believe the truth. But listen to this. You got to receive the truth. As many as received Christ, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. So there's perception, there's belief, and then there's reception. There's a transfer of trust to Christ alone for salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wow. Now, listen, the fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of man sets a trap. You know what the fear of man does? The fear of man sets a trap. So when we're bound up with the fear of man, you know, we're crouched over here in cowardice. And, well, I hope nobody finds out about this. And, Lord, do I believe in Jesus? And we are just... We're overtaken. We're trapped. We're snared. I'm trying to impress people. I'm trying to be... You know what I told some friends of mine? They wanted me to sponsor their event. So I did for 2 years. And then I told them, I said, you know, brethren, y'all need to take this and own this. I can't be what you want me to be. I can't do it. So you need to take this and you do it the way you want to do it. And you sing what you want to sing. And you say what you want to say. And if you want me to help, I'll help. If you don't, that's fine. I don't care. You can have all of our stuff. We'll help you in any way. But instead of trying to be something you're not, just quit. Get out from under that trap, brother. The Bible says, the fear of the man, man bringeth a snare, but whosoever trusteth in the Lord shall be safe. And the fear of God can take you out of the trap and put you in triumph. Not arrogance, but in triumph. And I'm not cowering anymore. I'm not running scared anymore. I'm not afraid to admit I need Jesus anymore. I'm not afraid to admit I got some problems anymore. I'm not afraid to just be real, because, brother, if we had some reality in the house of God, we would have a touch of God, and there'll come a revival in Clarksburg and surrounding area when God's people get over the trap of the fear of man and rise up and become honest and open and genuine and authentic before God and each other. Say amen on that point right there. Am I right or wrong? There ain't a person in the house tonight that doesn't struggle with something. You know, I've had such struggles in my life. You know what I used to think? I used to think, I must be the Antichrist. I'm not trying to be funny. That's really what I thought. Nobody else seems to be having any problems. I got all kinds of things going on inside of my head and my heart. I used to think, man, what is going on here? I must be the Antichrist. That's what I used to think. Then I found out that other people had the same kind of stuff, and they just weren't willing to admit it. And I'll tell you, revival will come to the church when God's people get honest and get open. In the upper room, oh, that's one prayer meeting I'd like to be in. Peter went out and wept bitterly. A good weeping every now and then is a good thing to soften our hearts. But when they got in the upper room, they all took the witness stand against themselves. They'd all forsaken the Lord. Every one of them. All of them. Buddy, they got clean. They came clean. They got clean. They got emptied. They got filled. They got up. And they got going. No, Peter out there preaching at Pentecost like a man on fire. He said, what I got was a failure. Yeah, well, the blood of Jesus was greater than his failure. And the blood of Jesus is greater than your failure. You say, well, I feel so off. I feel so bad about myself. Make for the cross. Confess it one time. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me of my sin. You say, well, I don't feel forgiven. Quit living out of your goosebumps. Turn off the quartet and get in faith. And just say, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when you're ashamed of yourself about how bad you've responded to something. Man, I got cancer and the doctor gave me such radical options. I thought he was telling me, Brother Pat, you are going to die. That's what I thought he was saying. I went into fear mode. You say, aren't you ashamed of death? No, not really. It's just the way it was. It's just the way it was. And I had a feeling bad about it. And I said to my wife, I said, why am I so scared? What am I scared of? And my wife would always say, I don't know. And I would say, you're not helping me. How many know you need to have people you're honest with as well as the Lord? Amen. We need some people. Brother Van Gelder and I went to China Buffet last night. Tremendous. And we were in there for 5 hours. We were sharing our hearts. I never spent that much time with him. And we just opened our hearts. You know, we just, just here's what it is, brother. And of course, we could identify with one another's experiences because we're all in the same boat. But what I'm telling you tonight is the fear of man brings a snare. But whoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. God can help you tonight. God can help you. God can cleanse you. God can lift you. If you're in a pit, it's not permanent. You're coming out. And I'm telling you, the way to come out is by being honest with God one time and then get into the gratitude mode. Get into the hallelujah factor mood and start thanking God by faith, whether you feel anything or not. And I'm telling you, the Lord can lift our hearts. Now, I wonder tonight, how many here tonight need to repent of the fear of man? Pastor Mattis, Pastor Barker, I weep more for sick people than I do for lost people. I don't have to try. But I ought to be weeping for lost people at least as much as I am for the sick people. I should be. I'm just telling you. Anybody here need to repent of being ashamed of Jesus? Anybody here need to witness to somebody? Anybody here need to get free to the fear of man? Anybody here need to get over the fear of man and go ahead and clear your conscience with your family? Put some things right where things have gone wrong. Just go for broke. Just go for broke. We ain't got nothing to lose. We got everything to gain. And I'm telling you tonight, God can help us. When we put our trust in the Lord, we shall be safe. Anybody here tonight lost that needs to be saved? This is your night tonight for salvation. Let's stand to our feet. Every Christian in the house that is snared by the fear of man, I want you to leave your seat right now. Get out of your seat and come down to this altar and get on your face. And let's talk to Jesus tonight about this fear of man. Let's confess it. Let's admit it. Let's ask the Lord tonight for a holy, healthy, biblical, sober, balanced fear of God. Amen. Amen. Anybody here tonight need to get saved? You're lost. You're not a Christian. You've been ashamed to admit it, but you know you're lost and you want to be saved. Put your hand up way high all over the auditorium. Anybody like that in the house tonight? I need to be saved. God bless you, son. How many others? Pray for me. I need to be saved. There's two right here. Somebody help us, all right? Somebody help us here. Father, I thank you tonight that the fear of man, while it brings a snare, those that put their trust in the Lord are going to be safe. God, deliver us from our man-fearing spirit, and Father, baptize us with a holy fear of the Lord, which is really to hate evil and to love righteousness. Oh, God, do something in our hearts tonight for Jesus' sake. And Father, let tonight be a new beginning, a new work of grace begun in our hearts. Father, that your presence might come down among us.